welcome to Worship with Trinity. It's good to see you here this morning. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors here, and I want to welcome you, especially if you are with us for the first time today. We're so glad that you are here and have chosen to spend this time with us. Also, to those of you who are joining us online at this service today, we are delighted to have you with us as well. If you are here, whether you're here for the first time or you're here all the time, it's always helpful if you fill out the connection card that is in your bulletin. If you're new, if you share as much information as you're comfortable with, that just helps us get to know you better and know more about things that you may be interested in knowing more about in the life of our church. If you're here regularly, just your name and your email is great. In your bulletin also, you will find a lot of information, especially today, about some upcoming opportunities to be a part of Bible studies and small groups, support groups. We are gearing up for a new school year and for a new session and season of ministry. This coming Wednesday, our midweek program kind of kicks back into full gear for all ages. And so make sure you take a look at that today and look for that one thing that really seems to connect with you that you want to be a part of this fall. Also, today's mission box is for the Ronald McDonald House. You can visit with Sherry Houston, the director of Ronald McDonald House here in Gainesville, out by the Welcome Center after worship. And if you'd like to make a gift to support that ministry, at each of the exit doors as you leave today, there are mission boxes for you in place. Well, as we come to worship together today, we are reminded of how deeply God loves us, of how faithful God is, and how every time we come, we can feel this sense of welcome, of God saying, yes, I am glad that you are here with me. And so in that spirit, I say to you this morning, welcome home. And why don't you stand and say good morning to somebody near you as we prepare to worship.
Remain standing and join us in singing, Mighty to Save, for our God indeed is mighty to save.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of the Savior. The hope of nations. Savior, He can move a mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever offer us salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Take me as you find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my heart again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender, I surrender. Thank you.
Faithful and forgiving God, we have come to worship you this morning, confessing that we are not always faithful to follow you. And yet your desire to save us is relentless. So help us to rise and come to Jesus, to be embraced in the arms of love, and to embrace the life that is truly life. Join me in affirming our faith with the words that you see before you on the screen. It's the lyrics to the song. Can we have the affirmation of faith? There we go. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating. We come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone.
mentioned at the welcome time this morning that it is a new year and we're gearing up for a new year of school. And one of the things that that means is that it is time for Stepping Stones to crank up again. And we've got a lot of our teachers from Stepping Stones here with us this morning. I want to invite you all to come and stand. And Jan Banks, the director, is going to come up and say a word about what's in store this year with our preschoolers.
Good morning. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Well, we are taking a walk on the wild side this year as we explore God's wild kingdom, which is our theme for this next school year. The Bible reminds us in Psalms 150, verse 5, let every creature praise the Lord. And that's exactly what we intend on doing as we safari through the Amazon rainforest and the African grasslands. I would also like to take this minute to announce our newest two-legged animal to the habitat. Please welcome McCall Griggs, our Trinity's new assistant director, the Stepping Stone.
McCall Wade.
And on behalf of the entire teaching team, we are so honored to serve this congregation and our Lord in such a tangible way. And we ask that you pray for it every single day, because you know it's a jungle out there.
Thank you, Jan. You know, one of the things that I so appreciate about her leadership of Stepping Stones is that it is grounded in her faith. This past week, near the end of the week, as they were getting ready for open house, I happened to walk in right as they were all out in the hallway just waiting for the kids and their families to come. And the way they started that day was to pray together, to take a moment for Jan to just encourage all of the teachers and then to pray with them. And she means it when she says that your prayers matter as well. And so today, we want to take a moment to pray for them right here and to bless them with our prayers. So I want to invite you, if you feel comfortable, to just extend a hand forward to them as a sign of your desire to bless them with your prayers, not only today, but throughout this school year. And join me in a moment of prayer with them. Holy God, we give you thanks for these teachers who offer themselves as servants to care for children who are your creation and who will come and learn more about the wild kingdom of your love and grace and your presence with us always. Strengthen them for their work. Give them patience and compassion, kindness and perseverance. Give them moments where they can witness Jesus in the lives of those children and witness the growth that they are seeing along the way. And in all things, may they and we give thanks for the work that you have entrusted to us through these children and their families. Now guide them and guard them in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for being here this morning and for being who you are as persons and as teachers for the great time. Will you thank them with me?
Join us in singing the chorus again of 20 Things. And I will rise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me and in the arms of my dear Savior, there are 10,000 times. One more time. And I will rise and go to Jesus.
have the shared task of making God's love real in the world and in the days in which we find ourselves. I don't know about you, but I feel like we need to be doing a better job of that. Letting God's love be manifested in all that we say and all that we do as a church. And so our giving back to the church is what helps sustain the ministry we feel that Trinity is being called to. So let us pray together. Gracious God, you are the giver of every good thing we enjoy in life. And so as we join together in this shared task of giving back to you and what you have given to us, we pray, O God, that these tithes and these offerings bless you, that they honor you, and that you have your will and your way with them, multiplying them for the good of your kingdom, the advancement of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name.
Hi, my name is Maddie
McGinn,
and our next song today is "Give Me Your Eyes" by Brandon Hayes. It is important to realize that this song is a call to God. Whether or not you realize you're doing it, when you sing these words, you're asking God to be able to see the world just like you. Just imagine if you could observe the world and each person in it, just like God. It would change your perspective of everything you do in your everyday life. You want to look from God's view and appreciate the good in everything. Just like the song says, give me your eyes so I can see everything I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. All of us judge people by their fashion choices, the way they walk, or just who they are. Most of us do not know these people, but that's not what we're meant to be. John 13:34 says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I loved you, and you should love each other. God looks at all of those in the world, and he knows their pain and joy in their souls, but he loves them unconditionally. We are going to sing these words and ask God to help us love people the way he does, which means we want to do so without judgment or discrimination. We need to be more aware of others and how to help them and show them the kindness that Jesus did. We can see through God's eyes in everyday life at school or sports. Have your arms for the brokenhearted and have your heart for the ones who got it. Now, later in us in Gimme Your Eyes is Emily Richardson and the Sunlight Youth Highland Band.
Come to So this week we're in our second week of taking a look at glimpses that we get of God from those stories that we tell our children. You know, as parents and as grandparents and others who have children in our lives, we're often seeking a way to be able to tell them about God. And sometimes we're not sure exactly how to do that. And you know, all of us are seeking a deeper understanding. Sometimes the most profound understanding can come to us in the very simplest of ways. So each week we're looking at a different story that is written for and that perhaps we've read to our children and how it can help us to have a different understanding of the very essence of who God is as confirmed in Scripture. So today we're taking a look at God's forgiveness and God's faithfulness. As we do that, I invite you this morning to bow your heads and pray for me. Pray for me in sharing this message with you. As I pray for you, that God will open your heart and mind to hear a word from God this morning. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was a little girl, one of my responsibilities was to help set the table. And I remember doing that around my parents' oak kitchen table. It was one of those solid oak round tables with the big solid oak pedestal base as well. And my particular task was to help put put the silverware on the table, because as a only 4-year-old, that was the only task that I was entrusted with. Now, I remember clearly one morning, Mother had already put everything on the table. She had put the plates on the table, and the glass was filled with orange juice and milk, and a bowl of scrambled eggs, and a plate of bacon, and a bowl of fruit. And then she went to go and call the rest of the family for breakfast while she left me to put the silverware around the table. Now, what I remember is being so impressed with the fact that my mother could stand at one spot and reach and put the plate all the way around the table. And so I thought that it would be really great if I could do the same thing. So I tried standing there and reaching all the way across the table to get the fork over there, and I couldn't reach. So then I leaned into the table, and I still couldn't quite reach. So I decided I would just jump a little bit and get the fork to the other side of the table, and the table tilted, and everything came crashing down to the floor. My parents ran into the room, first scared to death, and then when they realized I was okay, furious. I just had this memory of being kind of picked up out of the broken dishes and glass and being put out on the patio in a wicker chair that was sitting outside. And I sat there for what seemed like forever, because I was sure that when they came out, I would be murdered. I had spilled breakfast. I had turned over the table, and I had broken all of those dishes and glasses. I knew I would be banished to some faraway island somewhere. So then I heard the door open, and I heard my mother walk out. And as I heard her, I began to sob uncontrollably. And she came over to me, and I don't remember what she said. Probably something like, "Catherine Ann, don't ever do that again." And I remember throwing myself into her and burying myself in her and feeling her arms wrap around me. And at that moment, I knew that I was wrapped in arms of mercy, that I was forgiven. Maybe that's one of the reasons when our daughter Shelby was born, I bought her this book and gave it to her for Christmas her first year. It has something about eggs in it, you'll see. So I invite you to read along with me as I read this book this morning. "Mama, Do You Love Me?" by Barbara Juice, illustrated by Barbara Lavallee. "Mama, do you love me?" "Yes, I do, dear one." "How much?" "I love you more than the raven loves his treasure, more than the dog loves his tail, more than the whale loves his spout." "How long?" "I'll love you until the umiak flies into the darkness, until the stars turn to fish in the sky and the puffin howls at the moon." "Mama, what if I carried our eggs, our ptarmigan eggs? And I tried to be careful, and I tried to walk slowly, but I fell, and the eggs broke." Or the table turned over. "Then I would be sorry, but still, I would love you." "What if I put salmon in your parka, and ermine in your mittens, and lemmings in your mucklucks?" "Then I would be angry." "What if I threw water at our lamp?" "Then, dear one, I would be very still, I would love you." "What if I ran away?" "Then I would be worried." "What if I stayed away and sang with the wolves and slept in a cave?" "Then, dear one, I would be very sad, but I would love you." "What if I turned into a muskox?" "Then I would be surprised." "What if I turned into a walrus?" "Then I would be surprised and a little scared." "What if I turned into a polar bear?"
and I was the meanest bear you ever saw, and I had shiny, sharp teeth, and I chased you into a tent, and you cried, then I would be very surprised and very scared. But still, inside the bear, you would be you, and I would love you. I will love you forever and for always, because you are my dear. Each of you may recall, or can recall, those times when you committed some egregious act as a child, teenager, as an adult, perhaps even just yesterday. And yet, I hope that you can also remember a time, regardless of what you did, that you were, by a parent, a friend, a spouse, forgiven, extended mercy and compassion, acceptance and love. The characteristics of faithful love and forgiveness that are practiced by Mama in our story are the very essence and nature of God. God is patience. God is compassion and mercy. God is faithful love. And God's essence and nature, who God is always, without fail, consistently revealed in how God acts and interacts, how God acts toward and with us, how God acts toward and with all of God's children. Many of you, over the years, may remember a statement that's often said in the liturgy of the church, perhaps often after a time of confession, says that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding steadfast love. It comes from Psalm 103. Let me read it for you now, and I invite you to read along on the screen. Can we have the scripture? Thank you. Psalm 103 says this: "Let my whole being bless the Lord. Let everything inside me bless His holy name. Let my whole being bless the Lord and never forget all His good deeds." How God forgives all your sins, heals all your sickness, saves your life from the pit, crowns you with faithful love and compassion, and satisfies you with plenty of good things so that your youth is refreshed like an eagle. The Lord works righteousness, does justice for all who are oppressed. God made His ways known to Moses, made His deeds known to the Israelites. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. Who's that one? The Lord is compassionate and merciful, very patient, and full of faithful love. God won't always play the judge. God won't be angry forever, and doesn't deal with us according to our sin or repay us according to our wrongdoing. Because as high as the heaven is above the earth, that's how large God's faithful love is for those who honor Him. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed our sins from us. As a parent feels compassion for their children, that's how the Lord feels compassion for those who honor Him. All God's creatures bless the Lord. All, everywhere, throughout His kingdom, let my whole being bless the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. And people say, you know, who among us would expect divine anger to be so slow? Or God's steadfast love to be so abounding? The mama in our story exemplifies that kind of slowness to anger and abounding in faithful love. But
first when the dear one sends the eggs flying. Clearly, that's an accident. Sometimes our wrongs and mistakes are simply just that. They are accidents, mistakes, and we are forgiven. Mama says, I would be sorry, but still I would love you. God is slow to anger. Then the dear one says, but what if I put salmon in your parka and ermine in your mittens and lemmings in your mucklucks? What if I threw water at the lamp? These are intentional acts, deliberate bad behavior. How often do we do what we know is deliberate? How often do we deliberately do what we know is wrong? We behave badly. We do something knowing full well that it will bring harm or be hurtful to someone or in some way. And then we seek God's forgiveness. But Mama says, then, dear one, I would be very angry, but still, I would love you. God's faithful love abounds. Finally, dear one says, but what if I ran away and turned into mean creatures? What if I turned into a polar bear and I was the meanest bear you ever saw and I had sharp, shiny teeth and I chased you into your tent and you cried? This time, dear one turned into someone mean and ugly and completely different than who her mama knew her to be. She turned into someone or something that was completely unrecognizable. I know parents who have experienced that with their children. But Mama says, but still, inside the bear, you would be you, and I would love you. And I know parents who have embodied that love even in the very most difficult of situations. The word used to describe this kind of love is hesed. The Hebrew word hesed means faithful love, steadfast love, love that doesn't fail and doesn't give up, love that never gives out on us. And this psalm names that kind of love as the attribute of God that is expressed in all circumstances and all times, in all the ways God is toward us, in all of the dealings that God has with us. No matter what we have done or how badly we have behaved, even when we are no longer recognizable because we have strayed so far away from God, the psalmist says that God doesn't deal with us according to our sins. God does not repay us according to our transgressions. Because as far as the heaven is from the earth, that's how large God's faithful love is for us. It's more than the raven loves his treasure, more than the dog loves his tail, more than the whale loves his spout. That's how large and strong God's love is for us. And so we offer this psalm in praise of God's love and mercy for us. A song of praise of love that is so amazing and so incredibly divine that it overwhelms us. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Praise God, he says. But you know, praise is also always risky. Because if we praise God for God's faithful love and mercy, then we must be willing to live into it ourselves. If we affirm God's faithful love and mercy and we willingly receive it, then we undoubtedly will be required to extend it to others. I was reminded of Genesis chapter 6, verse 6. Haven't read it in a long time. Anybody remember what it says? We really don't want to. It says, "The Lord regretted making human beings on earth and was heartbroken." I wonder how close we are to that right now. I don't know if the Lord regrets making human beings, but I believe without a doubt that the Lord is brokenhearted. God is brokenhearted, and our hatred, and our anger, and our violence. God is brokenhearted, and our racism, and our sexism, our anti-Semitism, our religious arrogance, our xenophobia, our homophobia, our bigotry. God is brokenhearted at our unwillingness to be abounding in steadfast love and mercy toward our brothers and sisters of all races, all religions, all understandings, and all orientations. Now, I think you need this here, in this place. We strive to live a life that is gracious, merciful, and abounding in steadfast love. You all, Trinity, is a gracious, an amazing, gracious, and loving church. But even us, even me, even you, we are all prone to sin. It is not easy for us to be colorblind. It is not easy for us to not make distinctions based on race or gender or ethnicity or orientation. And sometimes our inner thoughts and tendencies reveal themselves in even the smallest of ways that are hurtful and harmful. Here in this place, I had to assure one of my dear friends that it was okay for him to serve communion, even hold the bread, because his hands are black. Even here, in this place, I had to reassure a mother with a gay child that they would be welcome and loved and embraced. Even here, I had to remind someone or assure someone that sexual harassment would never be tolerated. We are all prone to bigotry, to abuse of power, to division, and to anger. That's why it's risky to offer a song of praise to God for God's faithful love and forgiveness. Because if we find those attributes in God, then we must embrace them for ourselves. We cannot stand aside while hatred and evil are perpetrated. If God is abounding in love, then we must be as well. But thank God we don't have to do it on our own. Abraham Herschel says, "The disparity between God and the world is overcome in God, not in us. By the grace of Jesus Christ, our hope is not in our ability to measure up, but instead in the immeasurable love and grace of Jesus Christ for all of us, dear ones. So, thank God, He is gracious,
confession, to acknowledge that we have not put our whole selves out there in response to God's love for us, that we have held back, that we have resisted God's grace for ourselves or resisted extending it to others, that we have missed the mark, that we have been fearful or timid. And as we make that confession, as we come to the table, what we find in God's response to us is not shame or retribution, but grace. Because here we remember that God loved us so much. That God came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ. To live the fully obedient life. And to risk living that life even in a near death. On the night before he died, Jesus gathered with his closest friends, his disciples, for a final meal. He took bread, broke the bread, he shared it with him, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he took a cup and he gave thanks. He shared it with him and said, "Take and drink all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Merciful God, as we come this morning, fill our hearts with joy and with gratitude, and renew our commitment to follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus Christ. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here, and on these gifts of the bread and the cup, so that as we receive them, we might recognize in them and among us the very real presence of Christ. So that we might be bound together for the work that you have called us to. Above all, to love. To love you, to love one another, and to love all of your children as you have loved us. So now we bind our hearts and our voices together in prayer, the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. Let me invite those who are serving this morning to come and meet us at the rails as we prepare to offer the grace of Christ. Here in Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table of communion is always open. That means that everyone finds welcome here because Christ is full of grace and mercy. We invite you to come to the pair of servers that is in front of or closest to your section. You come out the left side, come forward, receive bread, take the bread, dip it into the cup, receiving those elements together. After you have, you can return to your seat. And of course, if you like, you're always welcome to spend time in prayer up here at the altar rail. Everything is ready. Let us come and celebrate.
Thank you.
God, here at this table, you have nourished us. By the mystery of your grace, equip us now to go out, to live in the light of your love, so that the world may know how good you are. In Christ's name, we pray.
We all stand and sing of God's faithfulness, for we have a King whose love endures forever. So let us take the risk of singing praise.
Blessed the Lord, our God and King, His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things, His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, His love endures forever. For the love that's able, His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God with us forever, forever.
Sing praise.
Sing praise.
Go out this morning, go out with the assurance that God is faithful, God is strong,